Welcome to Local Drag. It's a podcast about local drag queens and their thoughts and opinions on RuPaul's Drag Race and the world of drag. My name is Laveau Contraire, and I'm the Voodoo Queen of New Orleans, here to put you all under my spell. Tune in each week as I interview one of my favorite squirrel friends and recap the latest episode of RuPaul's Drag Race and give our unfiltered opinion on the queens of season 13 and Drag Race UK. I am here with the King Perka Sex. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. I'm excited to talk to you, excited to work with you. I feel like because of COVIDina, it's really cool that we got to like connect with people that we usually wouldn't be able to because we're usually busy and working in our hometowns. So I'm excited that I got to like discover you and like fall in love with your work through a few shows that I saw you in. And also you're related to Dot, so you're already like a fave of mine. So I'm excited to have you.
Excited to be here.
That's me gushing about you for a minute and a half at the top of the episode. So you are a drag king. And when I started the Drag Race viewing parties, I thought it was important to get a drag king perspective. I may or may not have reached out to someone who just won an award, but they didn't respond. Not that you were second choice.
I can DM them.
No, it's fine. It's fine. It's okay. Fine. Because I have you, and you're black. Okay. So, like, so, like, we already have that going, and I feel like that's just better.
This Justin Laveau Contraire believes in black supremacy. Someone called
Terry Crews. Absolutely. Absolutely. Black supremacy. Don't we deserve it? Wasn't Eve black? Adam and Eve were black. Jesus was black.
I feel like Adam and Eve wouldn't listen, eat the apple. They'd just be like, all right, we chilling. We got everything. Don't got to pay rent. Don't got to. You just said dumb.
Okay, I'm you see gonna, all this shit. Look at God.
Well, you think a black person? You think a black person would talk to a snake?
Period. Okay, like the snakes is talking. Let's go over here. Oh my God. So, how did you get started in drag?
Well, like most drag performers, I didn't get enough attention or love as a child.
Oh my God.
And like, okay, so I was in college, they had the school drag show.
Of course.
Back then I was just like, oh, this'll make everyone like me if I did drag. That'd make everyone in the college like me if I did drag. That'd be popular. And now I'm just like, that was a bad reason, but I'm glad I started.
Yes.
Now I do it because like, I don't care how it makes other people feel about me, it makes me feel good about me. So that's how I got started in drag with the school drag show. And I didn't want to wait once a year to do drag. So I went to the city, showed up to shows, did whatever tip spot I could find. And eventually I just became relevant and people kept me around.
Nice. Nice. I love it. When did you get started? How long have you been doing it?
At the end of March, it's going to be 3 years.
Yes. Love it. That's a good year. So wait, you said the city, and the city is Atlanta.
Yes.
In Georgia. Atlanta. So wait, where was the college?
Kennesaw State University. It's in Kennesaw, Georgia.
Never heard of it.
Yeah, I actually don't live in Atlanta.
I mean, I hear that most people don't. I hear like, you know, you go into Atlanta.
I I'm one of the few weird ones who don't live in Atlanta.
Oh, wait, a lot of the performers do?
Yeah, I don't live in Atlanta, and Aiden Zane doesn't live in Atlanta. I understand why they favor LA. It's like, okay, we don't gotta send a plane ticket. Just send them an Uber. Actually, I have an Uber. Tim, get the van. Get her from our house.
Absolutely. Okay, just drive over and pick that hoe up.
she lives right down the street. Actually, walk. Take your suit. Walk.
Right. Right. Exactly. But I wonder if they get like a little extra privileges because they're so close, you know? Like maybe they get to bring more stuff.
just texting a drag mom like, hey, can you
drop this off at lot 15. Don't tell nobody.
I need you to get a Bible, cut out the Bible, put a flask.
And just leave it by the dressing room. That's so funny. So, speaking of Drag Race, how do you feel about Drag Race? Because drag kings are not allowed on Drag Race.
You know that one Annie that you don't like, but she gives you money, and you like to eat?
Yes.
Well, like, we all love RuPaul, so basically that's how I feel.
I feel you. It's very that. It's like the out-of-touch aunt that you're like, hey, let me teach you about how to be respectful to people. And they're like, oh, fuck all that. I'm old. So, yeah. But the show is entertaining. It's the biggest platform for drag, like, that exists right now.
For now.
But, I mean, it's kind of like watching sports. It's kind of like our Olympics, you know?
As someone who does watch his football, I feel that.
Yeah, like, it's nothing else gets the gays going like the straights feel about football.
What about, like, sweatpants?
Yeah, sweatpants. But Drag Race is that thing for us. So even though it's flawed, we kind of tune in, we watch it, to support these entertainers that come from towns that we live in, you know, except for New Orleans. That hasn't happened. So anyway.
Not yet.
I mean, Bianca, technically, however... Not really. Sorry, Bianca, don't hate me. I really hope that one day comes when there is a drag king on Drag Race. Like, I think there's so much room to do stuff there.
You know, I have mixed feelings. I don't think I want to see a drag king on Drag Race. Okay, so that's your episode teaser to, like, bring them back into commercial. Because I don't think Rue can do it. Because it's like...
Wait, are you assuming that the judges are qualified?
Not that they're qualified. It's not even a bunch of qualifications. It just says, like, what to look for. Because you can tell... when a drag queen also doesn't know what goes into being a drag king. You can just tell when they...
Oh. Yeah.
Not so much as, like, they're ignorant to it. Just, like, they don't know, like, mm-hmm. what to do with it. Like, one thing queens like to, kind of clock kings for is, like, oh, well, your chest isn't binded all the way, da-da-da-da-da, but it's like...
You try it.
Yeah, sometimes it's physically impossible to get...
Like, Jesus.
...flat. I was lucky I'm president of the Itty Bitty Titty Committee. Not everyone is. I've also had, queens confused by the fact that I wear so much makeup, especially since I'm already trans. They're like, why don't you just put on some foundation and go on stage? And I'm like, I get to be someone different. I get to be a fun man.
And that's so funny because usually the critique is that drag kings don't do as much as drag queens, which I think is freaking bullshit.
Oh yeah, I got that from Trinity K. Bonet. We did a show together. She's like, I never seen a drag king wear so much makeup before.
It's like, yep. We're out here. I mean, especially now, look at Landon Sider. Landon Sider does more than most drag queens.
Landon Sider does the most.
The, like, absolute most. Down to designing the set.
His dragular record is impeccable. Like, he mm-hmm. has not been in the bottom. Never. Never been Ever. In the bottom. Always topping.
It's just like, how can you look at that and still discredit drag kings? I just don't understand. So I think that they should have them on the show. You said that you don't want them on the show.
A different show.
You want them on a different show. I like that. Or what if Rue did... Oh, well, I guess you're saying, like, not Rue. Because I was thinking, like, what if they did an all drag king season?
Not even a season. I'd rather, like, kings have their own, like, either a competition that just has everyone across the board...
Yeah.
Or, like, just a separate thing for drag kings.
Who do we think would host it?
I mean, we all know, like, it obviously has to be Scarlett Johansson. No, Landon. no, and, probably, I probably want to see Landon do something, because even before Dracula, he was already, like, the king we all looked up to, we all followed. He was already, like, one of the kings.
Yeah, I think I tweeted something recently that was like, I wonder how Landon Sider feels knowing that he has so many sons out here. Like, he really birthed the generation.
We're all illegitimate.
I just, like, look at a lot of, like, some makeup styles that a lot of drag kings do, and I'm just like, that's a little Landon Sider in there. I see you. He your daddy, too.
We all do a little bit of each other, because, like, we're all doing the same thing. We're all trying to, like, kind of get, look vaguely vaguely man-ish.
I mean, I feel the same way about drag queens. We're trying to look vaguely feminine.
So there are some things that, like, he does, he kind of did set the blueprint for.
Mm-hmm.
But also, that's just how it is. Like, over time, when we all, like, start, when we're all, like, learning our faces.
Yes.
You do see someone, and you're like, okay, what are they doing? Let me do this. And then after a while, you start to learn your own face, learn what you like, learn what you don't mm-hmm, like, mm-hmm. learn what works for you. And then eventually it's like, okay, we both contour in the same place, but our lines look different.
Right. Exactly. Yeah, I definitely see some parallels for the drag queen side of things, because it's very like, are you doing this kind of eye or this kind of eye? There's not as much variation. It's like, we're all contouring in the same places. We're all doing that damn, you know, highlight underneath the contour, makes it look draggy, you know? So it's kind of...
I never understood that. I do that too at my contour. And like, why do you do that? I'm like, I see Dot do it. I don't know.
Well, like, it intensifies the contour because it's contrasting right up to it, you know? But I feel like, when it's super stark, it's just like, what is that on your face? Why is your face doing that? But yeah, so that's enough about drag kings and drag race. Let's talk about being a drag king in general. Like, how do you feel like it compares and differs to being a drag queen? I know that, like, there have been recent initiatives to do, like, a drag king directory, to bring more awareness to all of the drag kings and also to keep your name straight. But yeah, just talk to me about drag king life.
Well, we actually already have a directory. We have a whole Facebook group called Drag Kings United on Facebook.
I love that.
And we all kind of just, the drag king community, it's all just a bunch of dads, no kids, just dads having a good time. Just, you know, in our jean jackets, matching jeans, denim on denim. Just having a good time. And, like, we all kind of already know each other. Like, cause I have friends that are kings from, like, California, Denver, Canada, D.C.
That's so cool. Crazy. Y'all sound way more connected than the queens.
Well, we gotta look out for each other.
Right. I love it.
And when it comes to drag king awareness, one thing that I feel like gets overlooked, and I don't know, this is just me also having like a little bit of an internal struggle a little bit. I feel like people kind of forget that, yes, have drag kings, but a wide variety of drag kings. Because recently there's a New York Times article that was published about drag kings. It had Tenda Rhodey, it mentioned Landon, it had Moby Dick. And it was like, wow, this is great. And I was reading through, and they even had a trans drag king, Hugo Girl from New Zealand, who actually, trivia, Hugo Girl was the first drag king to win a televised drag competition.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, he was the first. Landon's the first American.
Gotcha.
But Hugo is the first in general. And I was like reading his article. It was great. They mentioned Wang Newton. And I'm like, oh, sweet. They have all these drag kings. But I also realized towards the end, the only black drag king they mentioned was someone who was not, who was like from the like 60s, from the beginning of drag.
Oh.
Yeah, so when I saw that, I wasn't gonna like shit on anyone's parade.
Oh yeah, no.
But also it was just like that whole thing, it's just like do I be happy?
Mm-hmm.
Or do I, it's one of those things, it's like you have to
am
be,
I happy
like,
or am I angry?
Yeah, it's like,
and the truth is, both can be true, right? When you're like, I mean, that's so similar to like taking it out of the context of drag and race. It's the same as being in the LGBTQ community and being black, because it's like, yay, one step for LGBT rights, but also black people have to be included in that. Like, protect trans people, but like black trans women though.
Like, or like even on the flip side, when it's like, yeah, Black Lives Matter. Wait, y'all. No, wait, y'all. Wait, wait.
Not,
hold up.
Not
hold
y'all.
Up. Why are you being homophobic?
Not,
why are you being
not y'all no. slurs?
Yeah, like even someone posted like, oh yeah, Coming to America too. I'm like, oh great, Eddie Murphy. Then someone's like, Eddie Murphy kills trans women. I was like, what?
What? Wait, do we have receipts on that? Like, you can't just be saying stuff like that.
I'm trying to research it.
Okay.
But like, apparently there are like sources that he was doing some like trade-ish activities with like,
well, that has always been a rumor. I've heard that rumor before, but never yeah, so anything about murder.
I mean, also, I don't expect the media to cover it, honestly.
Of course
but
not.
I'm just like,
some
I'm just
deep
like,
Illuminati shit.
I'm just like, can I just be happy for once?
Okay, like, can we have anything? 2020 has taken a lot from us. Okay.
Like, why, donkey, why?
I can't even watch Strike anymore. God damn it.
Like, Mushu, Mushu, no.
Oh, my God.
So it's always that's like, okay, I can be happy, but also want more. I can be happy, but want better. Because it's like always... They're like, oh yeah, we booked a drag king. And even with me sometimes, I remember for at my home bar, they had Black History Month, all black performers. I was like, yeah, this is great. And I'm just over here like, why am I the only drag king? I am not. Why is it?
Yes.
I'm like,
yes.
Y'all want me to do all the, y'all know I do. Y'all know I do like Breaking Benjamin. Y'all know I do like some sad.
Okay. Street. I'm not going to give you D'Angelo.
They're like, Perk, do Usher. And I'm like, we're not at church.
Oh my God.
Yeah, so it's like always that. I'm always just like, okay, I'm happy for this, but I want more. Like, I want to see more. I want to see, I just want to see more, if that
yes,
makes sense.
Absolutely. No, I think that the fight for equality that we just saw kick up with the Chicago Black Drag Council and their town hall is universal for all performers, not just drag, not just burlesque, like everything, you know? Because it should be the same. While you're trying to make sure that your drag show is diverse, which a lot of you aren't, and I see you, and I'm tired of seeing all white posters.
Also, side note, if you are going to book a black person, do not have the email start with the, we need a black, we need a, just
oh,
leave that.
Oh my God. And also, do you know how many times I've been messaged like, hey, do you know any other black performers I can get to be in the show? And I'm just like, I mean, at least you're trying. But anyway, so the same thing that we're searching for to make sure that these shows are looking colorful needs to apply to your drag kings as well. And know that they're out there. There is a whole directory. I guarantee you there are more than you think. So book a drag king today. This has been your public service announcement.
And more than 10. Also, we like each other. Like, if it's not like, if it's not, we're not like beta fish where two drag kings are in the room and we fight.
Oh, wow.
There could be more than one in a
Actually,
show. We're not
gonna... Now that you mention it, I'm hard pressed to think of the last time that I was in a show with more than one drag king. That's sad. Yeah, I don't think that I could think of it. I'm sure it's happened, but like, damn. But anyways, who is your favorite? Well, I guess I should ask drag king in this case.
My favorite drag king?
Yeah.
Right now, it, well, obviously Landon Tenderoni, but yes. Let's go with, well, Luca Mi is honestly my favorite right now.
Oh, I love Luca Mi. But yeah, Tenderoni is amazing. And also Landon, duh. Like Landon is.
And Androgen.
Androgen? My mind explodes. Like my heart explodes, my loins, every. I'm just like. But anyway, Tenderoni just won Drag Queen of the Year pageant award competition thing.
I wish I could. I wish I didn't have to. I hate capitalism. I was working when it happened, but I knew. When he won, because if he didn't win, I'm like, okay, when's the drag king riot? Like, when we're gonna ride out? When we all gonna ride out and just
right
and protest? But like, yeah, it was really great to see he won. Actually, I did a competition with Tenderoni this summer.
And how did that go?
It was Drag Me King. It's still on YouTube. It's on What a Weekend. It's on YouTube, and I actually won.
Nice, congratulations.
Yeah, I was not expecting that, because it was like one of those things that like we filmed it ahead of time and then the episodes came out. So then they're like, oh, yeah, on this day, we're going to do the winner's call. I'm like, sweet, I'm going to just go to work. I'm going to wake up late that day. I'm going to go about my day. And then they're like, oh, Perk, you have to get in drag. We have to talk to you. I'm like, shit, what did I do? And then I got into drag. And they're like, you won. I was like, what? Y'all got the right.
Are you sure about that? Like, right. Is this a joke?
I look love behind it. Me, I'm...
That's yeah. So great. Congratulations. But yes. Thanks. So those are your favorite drag. Do you have like a favorite drag race queen?
Whichever one pays me the most to say yes.
oh my God.
Honestly, Dax is my favorite Rue girl.
That's good. Hometown. That's safe. Safe bet.
Actually, I met Dax once when she came in town for Dragon Con, but I was too afraid to say my name or anything. I was just shaking my Pikachu Kagumaru, just not saying words because I was intimidated.
I love it. She can be a little intimidating, okay?
She was just dressed as Storm, so I'm just
oh,
over
gosh,
here.
Oh, gosh. So she looks I-4. Fierce as Storm.
I'm just like, hi.
And what was your favorite Drag Race moment? Like lip sync?
When Elliot left.
When Elliot left, let's talk about it. Oh my gosh. So I'm super glad about that because Miss Hashtag Poor Me has been so vile, so nasty. And I'm just so glad to see her gone.
I mean, I'm just glad for the Fascinator. She wasn't like, I did my look based on Ghost. So I have this white little ghost hat on. And I'm going to sing Wade in the Water because that's my favorite church song.
Okay, and my look tonight is inspired by roots, so I'm a tree. Yep, thanks, Elliot. So glad to see her go. But before we get to that, let's rewind to the beginning of the episode and talk about it. Starting with the double save last week, Candy and Simone were both saved in the lip sync. How do you feel about double saves? Is it a good thing sometimes, or is it just like, get these bitches out of here?
It's good when it's Tamisha Iman.
It's good when it's Tamisha Iman. Yes. I don't think that she's, I just, it would be a different season if she was still here.
Like, no shit. I just love Tamisha. Oh, man. Are these Drag Race girls going to listen to this?
I don't think so. Nobody listens to this right now. I mean, sorry to the 13 people who do listen faithfully. I love you, and you're an icon. But I don't think we have to worry about the Drag Race girls hearing us so we can be real loose with the tongue. So Candy and Simone were saved, and I'm happy just because I like them both. And I want, you know, more blackness on the show. So don't send either one of them home. Thank you. But at the same time, this season has been 83 years long, and they added a COVID special episode for no reason. So
like, I don't want to be reminded about COVID. Like, yes, during this pandemic, we made these girls come out here, spend thousands of dollars to be on TV during a pandemic.
Yes. And like, we're making show business and you're at home broke doing digital drag.
You're either at home doing digital drag or in a club with a little face shield trying to make ends meet, just twirling so you can pay the bills.
That poor little bitty face shield that doesn't cover anyone.
Okay, here's the thing. It works if the audience wears a mask. That's
Totally.
It works that way.
Totally.
But if they...
But like, I see the ones that like only go up to like here. They're like from your chin to your top lip. And I'm just like, who is that protecting? But someone says that the winning group and the losing group is like dead. They started the season that way, but since Simone and Candy were in the bottom, that means that there's no more winners and losers. And I think, yes, please. Like, the narrative's over.
They took that on for too long. Like, how many weeks ago was that?
I mean, this is episode 9, and we're just now getting to it being over.
Yeah, they took that too far with the whole, I won a lip sync 3 weeks ago. I'm like, that doesn't mean anything.
Okay, it really doesn't, because it wasn't even like a real lip sync. You just happened to come dressed in a garment that allowed you to move better than me.
Like, I had $5 last week. Doesn't mean I have $5 now.
Okay, and don't. So, it's a new week in the workroom, and they have to do another stupid mini challenge.
Does Rue like wasting people's time?
That's how I'm kind of feeling. Like, I don't think I've ever felt it as much as this season, where, like, I really wish the mini challenges related to drag. But this had nothing to do with anything. They had to take pantyhose, because that's the sponsor, and make punk rock looks and, like, pretend to be punk rockers. Cool.
It's like, I understand for a challenge that's gonna like grow their art, but also these girls are already like the cream of the crop. So like, I feel like making them do something like that, that's not gonna like expand their drag in any direct like real way. You're just making them be like, okay, so here's a biscuit, jump higher.
But see, that's the thing. I think this show likes the illusion of growth and evolution, but I don't think this show is here to like help them elevate their drag or expand their horizons. It's more about like, what did you bring, you know?
I do like the visibility it gives them, because afterwards, like, you know, these girls are gonna be, when the world opens back up safely, they're gonna be touring, they're gonna be living their best life.
Absolutely.
So I'm looking forward to that aspect of it.
Yeah, people are going to be so hungry to see a show or see, you know, like see their favorite Rue Girl, that I hope that they get tons of attention and bookings. And same for the queens from season 12, actually, because they got the beginning of the pandemic. So I hope that people continue to book them as well, because they're not gone. They're still out here. But yeah, it's really weird. We're doing punk rock things, and Tina Burner wins. I guess her like twerking, if you can call it that, worked. So shout out to Tina Burner. She wins a gift card to this tight company, I guess. But why is your tight company named Snag? Isn't that what we don't want?
Also, why'd you have them put holes in it? Like, hey, we're going to show how easy it is to put holes in your product.
We're going to enhance the snagging by cutting holes in them and doing a punk rock look. Wow. Wow.
They look good, though.
I mean, they're cute colors. Cute colors. Do they have black people skin tone? Do they have that? Because that's the hardest type to find.
No.
Right. Exactly. We got turquoise. We got pink. Brown? Nope, no brown. But anyway, then we get to the main challenge, which, of course, is the snatch game. How do you feel about the snatch game?
Snatch game as a premise, or this snatch game in
as particular? As a premise, like as a premise, not this one.
I think it's funny, because like when people think drag, they're like, okay, female impersonation, male impersonation. So I feel like just to take what people, like the base of what people think drag is, mm-hmm. and then like to be ridiculously fun and campy with it.
Yes.
Is just super fun.
Absolutely. I love it so much. It's kind of one of those expected things that you just wait for every season. And then it's also become this kind of thing that's so involved and funny that it really sets up the second half of the season. Well, in this case, hopefully not another half, but sets up the rest of the season for the girls who are going to make it to the end and the ones who just can't cut it. So I love that about it. Who would you do as a Snatch Game?
Oh, Steve Urkel. Like, I wouldn't even have to do any acting. Like, hey, Perk, it's good that you tripped and fell. I'm like, that wasn't acting. I need help.
I love that. That would be so funny. That's a great Snatch Game idea. I mean, now that the Drag Race queens don't have to even do, like, female-bodied characters or identified characters, they could totally, like, we could actually see a Steve Urkel on here.
No one take that idea. That's my Snatch Game idea. Okay, take it, I'm like, gonna sue you.
King is going to be on the season. Season what? 17? 14? How long do you think it'll take RuPaul?
I don't know. Or if any other competition does a Snatch Game, RuPaul does not own the Snatch Game.
You're right. Ru doesn't own celebrity impersonations or Snatch Game. That's fair. That's fair. but in this Snatch Game, we have Denali doing Jonathan Van Ness from Queer Eye for the Straight Guy, Elliot with two T's doing Rue McClanahan, Got Mick doing Paris Hilton, Candy Muse, Patrick Starr, Olivia Lux, Tabitha Brown, Rosé, Mary Queen of Scots, Simone, Harriet Tubman, Tina Burner, Richard Simmons, and Utica as Bob Ross. What did you think about Denali doing Jonathan Van Ness?
The performance was good. It didn't like stick out to me, mainly because I don't watch Queer Eye.
Yeah,
I did love the look. The look was great, especially since I saw her Instagram post. Mm-hmm. Also, shout out to Denali. Denali is really bringing. Denali did not forget where she came from. She is bringing light to all these local Chicago performers with that video she did.
Yeah,
and also she did a Queer Eye photo shoot and included local kings to be the other characters of Queer Eye.
I love that. That's such a genius way to like capitalize on you know, your Drag Race reign. I feel like I've heard people accredit that to Kim Chi and say that no one was like posting all their looks before Kim Chi did that. So shout out to you, Kim, and shout out to Denali, and shout out to Chicago in general, because y'all are doing the damn thing. So I thought it was kind of like one-dimensional, but I also feel like they didn't show Denali a lot. Like, I feel like she got maybe two questions. I could be wrong, but like, I didn't get a whole lot from her, but I thought she did a good job. I thought it was safe for sure. Yeah,
like I said, it wasn't bad. I just don't, nothing sticks out or makes me remember it.
Right. And I mean, I thought, like, I don't know Jonathan Van Ness that well either. Like, my partner watches Queer Eye, but I never watched it. So all I know is what I heard from the other room. Next, we have Elliot with two T's doing Rue McClanahan. What did you think about this?
I'm just weighing in a defamation of character lawsuit. No, it's just because, like, I also, I'm just a terrible, terrible queer person. I also never seen the Golden Girls.
Oh my gosh, really?
I like anime. My cat's name is Naruto.
I mean, that's valid. That is so valid. The Golden Girls is pretty good. I'm pretty sure I've only seen it because my grandmother watched it or my mom watched it or something. But it's good TV. It's, you know, old, sassy old white ladies. Who doesn't love that?
Oh, I can get that at work.
Okay. Like, there's enough of that in the real world.
And, like, where do you describe a character as, like, just a horny old grandma? I'm like, Elliot was not fun. That's, like, a super fun prompt.
Right?
You can do so many things.
And then it's also a very specific one who was very funny on TV, even, like, some of the comic relief on the show. So it's just, like, if you knew you couldn't do this well, why did you try to do it at all?
Like, you could have stayed home.
Yeah, Elliot should have done someone like Willem's Jessica Simpson, like somebody that was just kind of, I don't want to say dumb, but
someone who, like, their job is to sit there and that just stay there. Don't just stay there.
Right. Like, Gottmik did a really good job with Paris Hilton. Like, that character is so iconic and easy to identify, and they nailed it. Whereas Elliot's was the same way, but it's just like, you didn't give us what we know about Rue McClanahan. And that leaves you with like that sort of like wanting more. And that's what you don't want from Snatch Game. You want them to be like, ah, ha, ha, I know that joke, you know? So how did you feel about the Paris Hilton?
It was great. It wasn't the best one. I think I'm just taking into consideration that Gottmik actually knows Paris Hilton.
Right. That's so, it for me.
Yeah, it's like, we all do impersonation of our friends. Like,
there's no challenge there.
Also, Paris Hilton doesn't have much. I don't even know which. Her daddy owns a hotel.
Yeah.
That's London Tipton. Yes, I don't know much about
Paris. That's why her name is London Tipton, because of Paris Hilton.
Paris.
London.
My childhood's a lie.
She was based on Paris Hilton, yes. But it's because Paris Hilton also had like shows like the Simple Life and what else was it? I don't know. There was a show where she had to do jobs, like normal people jobs, based on the premise that she's super rich.
Okay. So I think the performance was more like London Tipton-esque.
They're the same.
No, like, it was just, Kamala was barely like, yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, I didn't really get that excited. It was like, yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay, I think it's because I just don't like Paris Hilton's personality. Could be
that's
that
fair.
Too.
Yes. Because I'm like, it was a spot on impersonation. That is how she was. But I thought the funniest part for me was the beginning where she used like a lower voice because that's how Paris Hilton really sounds. But when she's on camera, it's like, that's so hot, you know? So Candy plays Patrick Starr. And to me, it was Candy Muse with the turban on. It was not very Patrick Starr.
I was expecting a cartoon character.
And it didn't help that they were all pink, because it was very much giving Patrick Starr from the Bikini Bottom that we all know and love.
Right. I was like, okay, sweet. SpongeBob. And I was like, I'm going to have to Google who half these people are after. Because I am very, I don't know who people are. I know who characters are on TV.
More fictional than real, yes.
Like, I can name you, like, if you, I can tell you what jutsu the different clans in a Leaf Village use. I can name that Pokemon.
Who's that Pokemon?
It was cute, though. Like I said, it was, like, safe. It wasn't good, but it wasn't bad.
It was borderline bad, just because it just wasn't accurate at all. Like, I understand that you don't know Patrick Starr, but they're like a makeup beauty influencer, and they're not constantly talking about like dicks and chicken. And anyway, so Olivia Lux did Tabitha Brown, another influencer, and she was kind of warned against it. Rue was just like, I don't know who that is. And the whole thing is to make Rue laugh. So if Rue doesn't know who your person is, I feel worried for you, you know?
Yeah, like, I do know who Tabitha Brown is. And it's like, I wasn't that entertained. You could have, I feel like with vegan, there's like so many vegan jokes. Like, if you just Google vegan jokes, they're there. But also, that's not all that Tabitha Brown is. Mm-hmm. Like, you don't just go to Tabitha Brown for vegan recipes. You go to Tabitha Brown when it's like a oh my God, the world is terrible. I need someone to tell me I'm loved.
I need a black mother.
Yes.
She will be your black mother for a minute on TikTok. Like,
correction. I need a black mother who believes in mental health.
Oh, period. Say that again. Oh my God. But yeah, Olivia was not giving any of that. She wasn't giving any jokes whatsoever. She had an apple and a banana, but big whoop. And it just didn't sound like Tabitha. It didn't look like Tabitha. It was is frustrating me and my homegirls just because I feel like there is so much that you could have done with that. Like, she did not once refer to her hair as Donna. She did not say, like, so and like that. Like, come on. Then we get Rosé as Mary Queen of Scots. What did you think about Rosé?
I didn't know who the Mary Queen of Scots was, but that was funny. I was like, I don't know who this person is, but I like this. I'm entertained. Yay, history.
That's how a Snatch Game should be. Like, that's, you know, whether or not you know the person, it just needs to be funny. And her accent was just so, like, unintelligible, almost. It was so hilarious. She sounded just like Ellie Diamond from Drag Race UK. I know you probably don't watch that, but she sounds just like Ellie Diamond.
I also like that she actually is Scottish. So it's like, okay, I can laugh. Okay. Okay.
Yes. I can laugh. Yes, exactly. No one's going to get offended by this. Oh, thank God.
Like, I don't got to be like, but is this okay? Okay, it's okay to say. Okay, I can.
Whew. Yes. But Mary Queen of Scots was beheaded. So she throws like a bunch of head jokes back and forth with RuPaul. It's really funny. And like, I thought she did a good job. So good for Rosé. She's really starting to shine now that she got that badge. Then Simone does Harriet Tubman. This was one of my favorites. What did you think?
It should have won. Like, the beginning, okay. Like, tiny underneath the table. I was like, how is she going to play this? And she's like, oh, I got nervous because I saw all these white people. I was like, oh, no.
It was so good.
Not saying what we're all thinking.
But it was so funny right off the bat. And I don't think that it like was funny the whole way through as much. But I think that the funny part was that she was being like very black. Like, her answer to the pork chop question was a pork chop and some collard greens. Which the idea is that Harriet Tubman is blacker than all of us because she was there before us, you know? Like, so I thought it was funny. I thought it definitely deserved to be in the top.
Yeah, also with the $20 bill stamp, I was like,
okay, like every bit was funny for me.
I'm like, did you really get that? Did you really get, is that a real stamp? I need to see
it
that.
It is. Oh, it so is. I've seen them and I've seen that you can purchase them where you can make your 20s Harriets.
Well, I know what I'm doing.
Okay, I just say, like, we as a black people should send these to every black home in America and put it on all the money, and they won't be able to stop us.
let's just have Tyler Perry start.
And oh, then yeah, totally. Yes. One Harriet Tubman stamp with every Tyler Perry film. It's like you go to the movies and instead of 3D glasses, it's a bin full of Harriet Tubman stamps. So Simone was great. She was also robbed, just to let you know. White people rob too. Tina Burner is Richard Simmons. What do you think about this?
I didn't know who Richard Simmons was, but I learned who Richard Simmons was, and I was very entertained.
Yes.
The legs sent me. I was like, oh my God.
Yes, tiny hands and tiny legs. They just kill every time. But yeah, I know who Richard Simmons is because I had a teacher in elementary school who would literally make us move all of our desks out of the way. And we would do Richard Simmons, like, stretching and dance tapes as a class, as like third graders. It was very bizarre.
So it's like, that what made you queer?
That's what I said. I'm like, wait. Because we were like rubbing on our legs and like doing squats like to this very, very gay man. I don't know. I'm not saying it's what made me queer, but I am a drag queen. So it worked. The gay agenda. Next up, we have Utica as Bob Ross. Save the best for last. What do you think about Squirrel Gate?
I think she made a good choice to be safe because, like, if you're going to be on a platform like Drag Race, these people don't know you. They don't know who you are. So you're not going to have a chance to explain yourself. Mm-hmm. So she went with a safe choice with using the squirrels. my big issue with that, my issue though, I said the squirrels was not the impersonation. The squirrels were a safe choice. My only issue with the squirrels though was the bullshit on Facebook that ensued after, because people are like, Bob Ross had a natural perm, and I'm like, a natural perm.
Think about what you just said,
sweetie. So. Natural perm. Say it back to me.
Okay, exactly. But the thing is, there are white people who have hair like that naturally. Like, that is a thing.
Yeah, it's a thing. Like, my golden rule is, if a queen is questioning their wig, I'm like, does it look like my hair texture?
Right, like, I think there was a way to do a Bob Ross wig that doesn't look offensive. And also, that's what Bob Ross looked like. So you're doing an impersonation of him. I don't think anyone's going to be... I personally would not be offended if she was wearing a Bob Ross wig. I would think it's an impersonation. She's not trying to be a black person. She's being Bob Ross.
Also, out of all the white people that have an afro, I feel like Bob Ross is just so chill. Like, Bob Ross would be invited to the cookout. Like, Bob, come over here. Like, Bob, come over. Like, you want some of this? Like, hey, give Bob some Henny. Like, I just feel like also Bob Ross as a person, like, it's not like, yeah. I mean, if she had the wig, I wouldn't be like racist.
Right.
But I feel like for a platform like Drag Race, where you don't
when
know
the fandom is so fucking toxic, it's hard to know what's safe anymore. And I think that was pretty apparent because RuPaul talks to Simone and she asks how does she feel about making people uncomfortable doing Harriet Tubman? And Simone says, if they're uncomfortable, good. Which in this case, yes, of course, that's a good thing. But I feel like it's the exact opposite when it comes to Utica, because she's like, if people are upset, then oh no. You know, like, she's scared of touching the beehive because of how toxic the fandom has gotten.
Yeah, aren't they threatening Candy Muse's mom or something?
Yeah, like sending death threats to Candy Muse's mom. Are you kidding?
Yeah, it's like, what did the mom, what did she
Who
do?
Who has time? Who has the energy? What is wrong with you people?
How'd y'all find her?
That's what I'm saying. Like, geez, it's beyond ridiculous and it's disgusting. So, like, please let us be able to enjoy this. But anyway, it's interesting to see how that fear can affect the choices of someone on the show, because technically Richard Simmons' hair is very close to that Bob Ross hair, but Tina was able to do it in a way that didn't look offensive.
Yeah, I was looking at Richard Simmons. So he isn't black?
Now you're asking the real questions.
Okay, because he's from, like, Louisiana. I'm like, okay.
He might be a little Creole.
Yeah, I'm like, no, there's something in there.
I mean, he's very white passing no matter what he is. Y'all, wait. Not looking up Richard Simmons and actually reading this freaking bio. Where is it? Did you see that?
What?
When you search Richard Simmons, the Google result says Richard Simmons was born in 400 million BC as a dying neutron star collapsed, causing an explosion of pure energy. He emerged from the star glorious as a hunk, flamboyant fitness trainer. He went on to create the observable and known universe, as well as all life as we know it. But when you click on it, it doesn't say that anymore.
And this is why Wikipedia is not a valid source for college papers.
What is happening?
We know Richard Simmons put that there.
That is hilarious. But also, he's from New Orleans. Wow. I did not know that.
Yep. No, there's some Creole. Nope. No. He ain't all the way. No, there's something
Let's
in there.
Let's go to the early life section. He was born to Leonard Douglas Simmons Sr. That is a black man if I ever heard of one.
Leonard, yeah.
Lenny, good old Lenny. Wow. Okay, and Shirley May, who is...
Oh, wait. His mother was Jewish. Okay, that also could explain the hair.
Okay, that could explain the hair. Now I want to know about his dad. Oh, wow. That is a white man. Very white. Mystery solved. Oh, my gosh. That is some intense journalism that we just did. Investigative in nature. You're welcome. But let's get back to talking about Utica doing Bob Ross. So she's eating paint. When has Bob Ross ever ate paint? Like, even in a parody, you would have to sell me on that because I don't understand.
That lost me. Like, I was just like, okay, I can kind of believe that. But the minute the paint eating started happening, I was like, it would have been funnier if she, like, was painting someone's face, like, oh, that face over there, it doesn't look that good. It's okay. I can fix it. And then, like,
going over to the person and start. Hand. Yeah. Yeah.
Like, on Paris Hilton, that would have been funny.
Oh, my God. Well, see, the problem with that is it would be so far away that they would, it would take too long. Like, the joke has to be fast. So it would have to be the person next to her. So, okay. You know, but I love that it's so easy for us to come up with ideas of how to make this better because it was that bad. Like, my thing is it could have been funny if she, like, kept the, like, calming quality of his voice and just, like, said something really outrageous but really calmly, you know?
I just started calmly cussing people out, like...
Yeah, kind of like the way that Gigi Good, like, called Rue a bitch and, like, stuff like that. Like, it was unexpected, and that's why it was so funny. I don't know. But she's not the only one screwing up. Elliot is not doing it. Tabitha Brown is not doing it. It's like Porkchop and Raven. Oh, Raven is there, by the way. Porkchop and Raven are like...
That wasn't Rihanna. That's Raven, like, Simone. She is Raven Simone skin color. She was doing a Snatch Game too.
Oh my God. No, this is her Josephine Baker. She's a showgirl. But no.
Do not lie to me. That is not a white, that is a black person. Or that is someone doing black fishing. Do not lie to me.
Well, I think it's the latter, Perk. I think it's the latter. Like, you have on brown feathers and you're the same color as them. What?
She slicked my mother's shade.
Olivia is the same color as her. Yes. Yes. Darker than RuPaul. Anyway, but you can see on Raven and Porkchop's face that they are not feeling it. Like, they're literally cringing at some of this.
I was cringing too. I was like watching between my fingers. I'm like, I can't watch this.
In the end, even though I feel like Raven answered 90% of the questions, Porkchop is the winner of the Snatch Game. After the Snatch Game, we get back to the workroom and Olivia somehow feels good about what she did. And so does Utica. What do you think about the delusion?
I think they have to lie because they're on TV. Because I think back in their hotel room, Utica was just like crying into the paints, like just in the tub. Like, because like,
I don't know.
I wouldn't want a gif of me crying on TV. Like,
yeah, but it's also reality TV. Y'all got to be real at some point. I mean. Speaking of, when we get to it, when we talk about Utica and Olivia's little beef that they had, it really does feel like they don't want to be perceived as sad or bitchy or anything on TV. And it's like, y'all realize it's reality, right? It's so fake.
Like, y'all know. Hiding your real feelings just leads to toxic feelings, right?
I think that Olivia is real. Like, when we get to the runway, they're giving her critiques, and you can see her face slowly start to crack because she thought they were going to love it. Like, I think she thought she was in the top.
Aww.
But I don't know what Utica's thinking. Well, actually, you know what? Utica said at the beginning of the episode that even though Rue was like, don't do this, girl, she was like, I am going to prove RuPaul wrong. And she said, Rue probably didn't like my jokes, but I did. So I think she knew. It was very sister-sister on this season of UK, how she was like, I don't know what the judges were talking about. I feel beautiful. It's like, that's great. You should feel beautiful, but you're going home. Like, you're going to feel beautiful on that flight home too. So Olivia hears Utica talking to Denali. No, Rosé. Are they not the same person? Talking to one of the girls about how she feels about who's going home. And she says, Olivia. And Olivia immediately is like, that's not what you said yesterday. What do you think about this?
Okay, part of me wants to say that, like, Utica did the whole thing that, you know, your friend just did something. Like, was that good? And you're like, yeah, it was. Yeah. Because you just don't want to hurt their feelings.
Yeah.
Or maybe she slept on it. Or maybe the cameras were like, say this. This is going to happen.
Right.
Okay, action.
I doubt it was that overt, but there probably was some nudging. But it's an interesting conversation that ties into what we were just talking about, because in Untucked, I just happened to peek at it. They were talking about how Utica is kind of coming across one way on camera and a different way off camera. And the fact that she told Olivia that she liked it off camera and she's like, oh, well, Olivia's going home. Then that kind of makes it seem like she's being secretly shady, which I think is a strong possibility when nobody wants to be seen as the villain, because you talk about somebody's fave and suddenly death threats and deactivated Twitters.
Also, the two can't be mutually exclusive. Like, yeah, I liked it, but it's still going home.
That's my thing. That's what I would have said if she would have called me out on it. She's like, that's not what you said yesterday. It's like, yeah, I said you did a good job. I do think you did a good job. But compared to everybody else, I think you're going home. Like, it's that easy to be real. Like, oh my God.
Like, here's my direct quote.
It's very Tamisha Iman. I said what I said. Then they talk about their parents in drag. Do your parents know that you do drag?
My parents don't even know my first name.
Oh my God.
Well, they know it and just don't use it.
Oh no. I feel like that's even worse.
Oh, did that get dark? Oh.
No, it's a reality. Like, my mom still struggles with my brother's name, and I think we finally got her to a place where she can, like, get it right. But I guess that means that they don't know about King Perka Sex with three X's.
Okay, so my mom knew I did a drag show once 3 years ago. Uh-huh. And, like, this is probably thanks to my sister talking shit. My biological sister, I love my drag sister. My little sister's talking shit. And, like, showed them, like, I think, like, my video of me, my chaps, when I did my little cowboy look.
Yeah.
So I think they kind of think I think they think I'm a stripper. And I'm just like, I'm not getting stripper money, so that's not true.
First of all.
And also, I cannot hoist. I'm also impressed that they think I'm strong enough to hoist myself on a pole, but no.
Right.
But, my brother and sister know, but I don't really mess. I don't talk to either of them. Mm. My youngest sister is 6, so I don't talk to her. So as far as my parents and drag, we just don't. I haven't seen my mom in like 2 years.
Oh no.
No, oh yes, that's good.
Oh, that's good. Okay. Oh yes.
Like I said, she doesn't even call me by my first name. Like, we had like a compromise name, but she didn't use that. She's like, hey, dead name. And then it got to the point she kept texting me. And then it got to the point that I'm like, okay, look, if you can't call me this, my pronouns are he, him. You can't call me your son. I have no room for you. Because tell me why. I have this 26-year-old gay man in my life who is also my mother, but calls me he, him. Whole 9 yards, and this person didn't even give birth to me.
I mean, that right there would probably blow some minds because they don't know the concept of drag family. They're like, there's this 26-year-old gay man, and he's my mom too, mom. So funny. I love that we get to choose our own family and that sometimes that's better than the original. Actually, most times. I'm just going to go ahead and say it. Most of the time it's better than what you were set up with. Sorry, Mom. I love you.
Wait, does your mom listen to the podcast?
Probably not, but in the off chance that she does, I just want to make sure that she doesn't call me with no nonsense, because she will. Like, so why you said on the podcast?
Your next show, she just comes in, drags you by the ear, like, what you say?
Oh my God. Yeah, my mom knows that I do drag. She's a huge fan. Like, she's like, I can't wait to see you on Drag Race and all that. It took a long time to get her there with just the queerness, the transness. Like, we joke and say that she has a queer uterus because all of us are queer in some way. My sister is a lesbian. My brother is trans. So, and I'm a crossdresser. So, yeah. It's very queer up in here. So she kind of had to get used to it at some point. Like, you either that or you ain't gonna have no kids. All right. So, because we are thick as thieves. Like, we don't really need. She had to get with the program, and now we're cool. We're all cool.
Oh, that's cool. I'm like, I think I'm the only out one in like the whole family, cousins at all.
But not the only one.
Okay, my grandpa had like 17 kids, so it's just math. I have like 50 cousins, just the sheer math of it all.
Oh yeah, statistics. Like, somebody's gay out there. One of y'all homos. Somebody. Is gay.
And if my cousins look like Trade anyway, so I'm like, which one of y'all?
Which one of y'all?
Like, just go to New York on Grindr. I'm like, isn't that? Hey, what's up? So can I come? So I'm gonna be over your mom's house for dinner later. Just wanted to make these dinner plans, cousin, through Grindr.
Oh my God! Can you imagine the gag? That's so funny. That's if I ever get the opportunity to catch one of my closeted family members, because they're out there. I feel like every family has them. But, you know, take your time. No one is going to force you out of the closet. Everyone in their own time. But we be knowing, okay? Like, you ain't fooling nobody with your live-in friend. Anyway. Back to the subject of Drag Race. We also have to talk about the runway. So before we do that, let's go ahead and take a little break, and then we'll get into the runway and wrap this episode up. And then Tina Burner comes down the runway looking like a Clydesdale. What did you think about this?
It wasn't, the fascinator was too small. The chest was more eye-catching in the fascinator, and the challenge was for the fascinator to be fascinating.
Yes.
So it missed a mark for me.
Yeah, like, my eyes definitely went straight to her chest as well, because it's like the big old red, like, flowers. That made sense, but I liked everything about the look from the neck down. I just wish the fascinator was bigger, like you said. Like, it's clear that you have a horse saddle on your head, but, like, make the horse bigger.
Yeah, like, why is your prop bigger than your fascinator?
Right. But also, like, imagine that as, like, a kid's birthday cake. Look at how big the body is, and then look at the head. If that was on the cake would look weird.
Very that, yeah.
And then we have Candy Muse coming out with her name on her head. What did you think?
I couldn't see it at first, because you see how it kind of goes into the purple? And even now, it's like, okay, what does that say? That's like, what does this say? I just wish it was like kind of like some whites behind it too, to make it also make it be bigger. Also, it's like, okay, I can read this.
I think part of it is probably the fact that it is literally not supported by anything but the feathers themselves. But like, it could have done with some stability, because it's like flopping a little bit, and I think, like you said, if there was some white behind it to make it pop, or if you like strung some lights up in that thing, that would have been really cool.
Yeah, because I can't see what that says.
Yeah, right, especially on the like beaded background.
Yeah, like, I can't see what that says,
but it's a cute look. I like the houndstooth ruffly moment.
This reminds me of my mom's church coat. Like I gotta go get communion in that dress. Like it looks good, but I'm just like, this looks like church lady.
Yeah, I could see that, but I know the designer from New York. It's a Pieretta, and they make like garments that are very like clown-like out of that. And I think it's also a Gaga reference. I saw on Twitter there was a lot of people comparing it to something that Gaga wore once. So, you know, Candy's a little monster.
Okay, you said it, not me.
So here are the results. Simone, Tina, and Candy are safe. Do you think they deserve to be safe? We already know that you think that Simone should have won. I agree. But what about Tina and Candy?
Yeah, like I said, it didn't do terrible, but they weren't like, oh my gosh. So like, yeah, they...
Yeah, I found Tina funnier than Candy, and I thought if anyone should have been safe, it should have probably been Denali, because I don't think she should have been in the top. Like, I didn't think Jonathan Van Ness was that good.
Yeah, no, it was... Love Denali, but yeah, that should have been safe.
Yeah, I think that, like, Rosé got Mick, and Simone should have been the top three.
Yep, no, that should have been it.
Yeah, I think so. But whatever. They said Olivia, who was one-dimensional, that, like, Michelle actually knows who Tabitha Brown is, unlike RuPaul. And she was like, there's so much that you could have done with that, and you didn't. You just made it about being vegan. And it wasn't even funny, so not looking well for her. But, like, she starts out with, like, a very, like, happy face, almost like she thinks she's going to get a good critique. And then slowly as they keep talking to her, it starts to crack.
Aw.
I mean, I don't say aw just because I feel like you have to kind of be realistic about how you did. And some of these girls need a reality check.
I just thought of seeing, like, the... That I've seen that happen once at a pageant. Like, the person next to me, I was just like, I could hear their spirits being crushed, and I'm just like, I pat him on the back. I'm like, it's okay, it's okay, it's okay, it's okay.
Well, I mean, it wasn't like she was being told that she was in the bottom. It was just being, well, I mean, I guess she didn't know at that point. But yeah, I guess when you think you did really well, but I'm just like, you did a character that Rue didn't know. And you weren't getting, like, the laughs, girl. I don't know. It just wasn't that good for me. It's Tabitha Brown, man. Don't mess with my auntie.
What if Tabitha Brown, like, sees this? Like, does she know what drag is?
Oh, you know she probably will see it. I wonder if she's, like, posted a, like, you know, picture of her watching it. I'm sure she has. Then we get to Rosé. And Michelle tells her, there's a lot of times I struggle with your choices because of all the rough, like, she's done so many ruffly, boxy outfits. I don't understand how that can be, like, your style. Like, that's not a cute thing. But Michelle does like that this is, like, off the shoulder and it kind of shows her body a little bit so she doesn't get lost in it. But to me, she's still lost. What do you
think? I need a GPS to find where the other arm is.
Right? I don't know. But they liked it, so good for them. And they said that they liked her Mary Queen of Scots, so that was good. They said that Utica's Bob Ross didn't work. Surprise, surprise. But they did love her look, and I honestly think it saved her because I think she could have gone home this week as well. And then we get to Denali, who they call costumey, which is dangerously close to crafty. And we know that that's a no-no.
I don't say how it was costumey.
Well, probably because you can go look up like a 50s diner costume and find that exact outfit, maybe. I'm sure Denali's was custom made, but you can find something dangerously similar, right? Do you think so?
I'm just saying if you can, I hope that was not custom made.
Well, since we love the facts here, let's go ahead and check Denali Instagram. Fit Fascinator and Props from Grace Duvall. Grace Duvall made it. Grace Duvall also made their Black Widow look, so that's cool.
Okay, I can see why they said costumey because it's like there's not that many parts to it.
Yeah, and I hate because it's such an iconic like look that they think immediate like I mean Michelle literally said it I think it's costumey because it is and I'm like it's not a
I wish the
costume.
burger was real.
I mean, it's not like not a costume. I think everything we do in drag is a costume. However, to say something is costumey just kind of cheapens it to me, and I just get frustrated by that. Like, some designer, Grace Duvall specifically, put a lot of work into this, and that shouldn't be like reduced to like, oh, it's a little costumey. It's a little Halloween for me. Like, rude.
Yeah, that's cute.
Like, it has burger buttons.
Aww.
That's adorable. But anyway, let's get into Got Mick. They loved it. RuPaul literally says, you turn it every single time you're out here. And they love the Snatch Game. So it's looking good for Got Mick. Then,
No, it's
huh.
just.
Oh, were you saying something?
I don't know. I have my opinions on. I think I'm just critical of punk drag because I like that drag the best. It is punk, but like I said before, it's like, where's the shine? I want metal. I want like spikes, studs, chains. I want like you to
Yeah.
have a skull.
Perk, they had a giant safety pin through their head. I
Where's the other safety pins?
think the entire middle of that outfit was safety pins, don't you
I
think?
think it was just a belt.
No, wait. Let's get into the details. Let's freeze frame. Let's find it.
It's probably on Instagram.
I think those are two rows of safety pins holding the top and bottom together.
Okay, if it is, then I will take back everything I said.
Okay, we're so close to debunking this. Let's see. See, I think that's two rows of safety pins.
Oh, never mind then. Okay.
Let's get it. Look, there's more here. There's some all around the belt. There's details, okay? Get into these
Okay,
details.
okay.
Look at the shoes. They're tied with safety pins.
Okay, now that I. Okay, TV does not do these looks justice. Okay,
Absolutely
yes.
not. And they don't give us detail shots because some of the queens don't want that. So.
Okay, now that I see all the safety pins, yes, it's doing it for me.
Okay. So shout out to Got Mick. You still think they should paint their whole body white, but yeah.
Not the whole body white, or like black out your at least give me the neck and ears.
Blend it down into your human skin. Blend it out. But I think it's kind of like a mask kind of thing. I'm not sure. But looking at their Instagram, it's always the white face, but not the body.
I guess I'm just critical because like I've ruined so many college shirts because I'm like, I have to do the neck.
I have to do the neck. Oh, we will clock if your neck don't match your face. We will clock it. Then we get to Elliot. Michelle says that before I knew your outfit was a flamingo, to which in the viewing party we all were like, flamingo? Before she knew it was a flamingo, she didn't understand it. But then when she did, she was like, oh, and I'm just like, no, I still hate it.
Like, he must have a zoology degree. I'm like, flamingo, what?
Okay, like first of all, it's freaking flowers. Like it's a floral print on this bodysuit, or at least it looks like it. And then you have these weird feathers coming out of your head, and the hair doesn't give me flamingo. Nothing about this said flamingo to me, except for the one-leggedness. And you know what? Elliot knew it was bad because in the actual pictures, it's different.
Wait, what?
Like on her Instagram, she's wearing different hair. Or I know it's the same hair, but it's styled better.
She was trying to be avant-garde.
Maybe. Is that what she said? I wouldn't call it that. Maybe. Okay. Let's get real deep about it. If you look at it when she's doing the hunch pose and the pink of the hair is the head of the flamingo and her arm is the beak, it's kind of a flamingo.
No.
No. I tried.
I mean, I've seen turkeys who look more like
Oh my
flamingos.
gosh. And no disrespect to this designer. They also made that beautiful Mardi Gras bead gown, which I loved. But like this one, mm-mm.
It looks good. Mm-mm. Just don't say it's a flamingo.
I don't think it looks good. I don't think that you should do a one-legged bodysuit that has a flowy side and a tight side. Why is one side form-fitted and the other one's flowy? It doesn't make sense.
I think it makes sense for the pink to be flowy.
Right? Like, it's so weird. Yeah, because otherwise this would look like nude illusion, which is what that fabric is for, a nude illusion. Why is it flowy? What the hell? I don't know. I don't like it. So, anyway.
All these outfits look really expensive.
Oh, yeah. They spend a pretty penny on this package for Drag Race. Like, I do not understand how.
I feel like you might just do like a pageant like US of A or Continental.
Yeah, but I feel like that's a completely different type of drag.
True.
You know, that's different. That's real different. Because I've heard it famously described, not to discredit pageants or pageantry, as with a pageant, you just have to be good that one night. Everything else doesn't really matter. But that one night, if you were the best and the other people are worse, then you win. Drag Race, you have to be good over the course of like weeks, and it averages out who wins the most, and then there's all these people pulling the strings, and yeah, it's a lot. But anyway, let's get back into it. The winner is Gottmik, and Elliot and Utica are in the bottom. We already know that we think Shimon should have won, so I'm not going to ask you about the winner. But what do you think about the bottom two? Do you think it's the right bottom two?
Yes. I mean, any of them would have been right.
It wasn't that great of a snatch game, yeah. But I definitely think that. And I was rooting for Utica. Like, I wanted Utica to stay, and I wanted Elliot to go. I actually rejoiced during the viewing party, because it's beyond time and Miss 3K's needed to go. She wasn't doing anything for me.
I also like it because people, especially, I feel like sometimes people, they're like, oh, drag, dancers are the best. And like, they're like, oh, Elliot's the dancing queen and Utica's just being a clown and just great and entertaining. I'm like, I love everything about this. This is what drag is about.
Yes, I love the different interpretations of drag and definitely showing that like, tricks and splits don't make a good lip sync, or just because you're a dancer doesn't mean that you can sell a song or tell a story, you know? Not to say that Elliot didn't do that, but Utica did a better job on this day, and I was happy to see it because I want to see what she does next. So that brings us to the end of this episode, and now we're going to talk about some tea and speculation. So what do you think the top three will be based on what we've seen?
Gottmik, because I think RuPaul is trying to make up for like years of transphobia.
I'm glad a trans person said it, because I've been thinking it and also saying it, and I'm like, I don't want to sound transphobic. I don't think that's it. But I do think that it's okay, a bit of pandering.
It's a bit of pandering, but also this is a good person to do it with, because this is someone who would have been doing well regardless.
Absolutely.
It's not like taking someone whose drag is like trash and it's like, you're first place. It's taking someone who's like, your drag is already phenomenal.
Yeah, yeah.
But I gotta make up for some things, and I can't. I gotta do some quick allyship. And this is no shade towards Gottmik.
That's the thing. Like, Gottmik is a win for everybody. A win for RuPaul and the producers, but also a win for the community, because they're sick.
Also, I'm like, if a trans person wants to use a transphobe to get ahead, yes, do it. Do it. Do it. Yes, please.
Oh, good question. I mean, I don't want to like make you a monolith and have you speak for the trans community or anything. But what was your personal opinion on Gottmik selling shirts with their top surgery scars on them, like a photograph of that, and selling it?
Like, what do you mean? Like, just like this, like one of those like chest t-shirts and his top surgery scars?
Basically, but it's a replica of a another shirt that came out with a woman's chest on it, but it is just like a cutout. So it only goes like in a bar across the chest, and it just has a photo of Gottmik's surgery scars.
Aww.
So what do you think about like cis people buying that and wearing it, and like just them selling it in general?
It's kind of like this. You know, those ladies at the airport in like the Caribbean, and they braid the white people's hair.
Yes.
And you have like little Susie Mae with going to work with like her beads and everything, and then it comes out the next day.
Yes.
Because it's not made for her hair texture. Right. It's like we're not mad at a Jamaican woman because she was just making, she was just trying to make, put food on her table and offering a service. Yes. She can't help who the money still spends. When it comes to that, like, I feel like if a cis man wears it, it's a little bit like, fuck you, mm-hmm. because it's like, you can already do that. Like, fuck you. It's like, yeah. it's like you can already do that. Like, if anything, if you want to support, buy it, give it to a trans person.
Right. Okay, I like that answer. I was talking to someone recently about it, and I had a similar idea that, like, you know, I'm not mad at Gottmik. Gottmik is it's their body, and they're putting it on a shirt and selling it. That's great. It's the problem comes in when cis people wear it, and it just ain't gonna look right. It's not gonna look right. It's not gonna be cute.
If this woman wants to wear it, it's like, this could be you trying to figure things out.
Yeah.
So it's like, but if a cis man does it, it's like, fuck,
I'm not going to go throw pink and blue paint on someone for wearing it, but I will be like looking at you kind of sus. But then again, we shouldn't assume that anyone is cis because we don't know. So I guess I'll just let people live their lives. But yeah, I just wanted
also to be fair, you can't really tell someone is assisted but from their chest either, because not all top surgeries leave scars.
Right. Good point. So at the end of the day, it's a live and let live kind of situation, but shout out to Gottmik for monetizing their story, I suppose. You know?
I mean, what? People gonna sexualize trans people anyway. You might as well make money off of it. Like,
so...
Like, do chasers exist? Yes. Do I post a thirst trap so they give me more Instagram likes? Yes.
So next week on the show, let's speculate a little bit. They are painting each other for the makeover challenge. How do you think this is going to go?
If they don't do Simone good, whoever, I just hope Gottmik or Olivia is painting Simone.
I hope so, but like based on what we're looking at, they show us pairs of people and it could be a misdirect. But I think that Simone is paired with Utica. It looks like Simone and Utica, Olivia and Denali, Candy and Gottmuse. God damn it. Gottmik.
That's the ship name, Gottmuse.
But quiet as it's kept, Gottmik is an amazing celebrity makeup artist. Candy is going to look so good next week. And Rosé and Tina. So how do you think this is going to turn out?
Okay, I just hope that they can give each other hints. Mm-hmm. Or I just hope Utica knows what banana powder is.
Okay. I wonder if they're probably going to have to do it like facing away from the mirror, hands tied behind their back or something like that. Or, you know, where they just can't participate at all. Oh, gosh, that is terrifying. They're going to look like monsters next week. Well, I mean, at least they're all drag queens. So that means that you won't have anyone stumbling on the runway. You don't have to worry about family resemblance because they're hopefully going to be doing these separately. Or do you think they're still going to make them walk together?
Probably.
Like they could let one half do it and walk together and then the other half do it on another day or something? I don't know.
They're already together all the time. At this point, there's like 8 people.
Right.
I don't think they're going to be splitting them up anymore.
You know what just clicked for me? That's why they did a double save to make this shit work.
They could have done that with Tamisha.
Period, right? Yes, Tamisha could still be here because I bet you she would have been able to do this really well. Anyway, I think that Got Muse is going to win because Gottmik is so talented with the paints. Painted Lil Nas X and is really good at painting different people because that's their job. I'm worried for Rosé and Tina because of questionable choices in the past with makeup and with fashion. So that's my prediction.
Yeah, that's the bottom pair next week, probably.
I hope so, because I want more Utica and Simone. I want more Olivia. Denali can stay for as long as she can. And yeah.
For winning, I have either... It's top three is Gottmik, Simone, and Denali for me.
Okay. I think the top three is going to be Simone, Gottmik, and I'm going to say Candy. I don't know if Candy's going to make it there. I know a lot of people don't believe that she can make it there, but I think that her personality could get her there the same way that Adore Delano is in the top three.
Is personality really that much of it?
I think so. There are some people who have, look at Shangela, got brought back season after season after season on personality alone, because it wasn't the drag at first. That didn't get good till like the third time she was on the show. You know what I'm saying? So... personality counts for something.
Wait, she usually brought her back three times?
I mean, she's been brought back for like the Christmas special. She's been brought back for All Stars. She's been brought back. Yeah. She popped out of boxes.
But she didn't even win and they kept bringing her back?
Yep. Now she's a winner at life. But yes, that is our speculation for next week and for the top three. Perk, thank you so much for being a part of this podcast and also for doing the viewing party. I can't wait to work with you more in the future and see the cool shit that you put online.
Hey, thanks. All my stuff is also available on my Patreon.
Yes, let them know. Go ahead and plug all of it. Let us know where to find you online and where people can pay you.
My Instagram is KingPerkaSex, Perka with a K, sex with one X. That's my Instagram. My Instagram has a link to my Patreon, and also King Percocex with a K and one X is also my Twitter handle where I put my shit post. And also just sometimes I get crossfaded and I remember I have a phone. So there's a lot of that on there too.
I love that. Well, check out King Percocex on all platforms. Thank you so much. And I hope you have a great rest of your night. All right.
Thanks.
Thanks. All right. Bye.
Bye.
We did it. And I have to pee so fucking bad. All right, that's all for today's episode. I hope you enjoyed it and I can't wait to do it again next week. Anchor allows you to send in voice messages, so check out the link in the episode notes if you have any questions or comments for the show, and we just might respond to them on air. Until next time, keep it cute. Keep it real, and don't let anyone steal your joy. I'm Laveau Contraire, and this has been Local Drag.